We're back, and we're back here with Cooley Godfrey, the team here that has a lot of financial information and good news for us, I trust. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Duke. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good. All right. It's time for mid-year investment review.
Yeah, I mean,
do we do that every year?
Well, you know, it just depends on the person, but, you know, we try to review people's portfolio on an ongoing basis, Duke, but I mean, June was not a very good month in the market. July has turned out to be a very good month in the market. And, you know, the issue with bonds, the federal government coming out with quantitative easing going away, has, you know, mortgage rates going up, 10-year treasuries going up, has, you know, had some effects on the bond market, mm-hmm. the bond market meaning high yield, long-term bonds, municipals. So, you know, people have had some issues with their portfolio, so you want to make sure that you review their portfolio mid-year to talk about that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and, you know, the other things that you always want to review, you know, it doesn't always have to be mid-year, but it's during major life changes. You know, there could be, you know, do you want to review, have you had a change of job that changes your income?
Yes.
Is there a need to roll over your 401k from your previous job? You know, do you have a child, a newborn, or one starting college? Are you getting married or divorced? You know, these are all good reasons. So it isn't always mid-year, but during major life events, these mm-hmm. are major events to do these checkups.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Duke, we still have people out there that haven't refinanced their house.
Really?
I mean, they haven't. I mean, they're still coming to us and saying, do you think we ought to refinance? And I go, yes. I mean, you know, rates kind of bottomed out maybe 45, 60 days ago.
Now, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you know, people still have 5% loans out there, and they haven't refinanced. I think 30 years are still... you know, 3.5%
to 4%,
30 years. I mean, they can still get a point off of that. And if they're in their 25th year, I mean, they can knock it down to a 15 or 20 and save a lot of money.
Yes.
So, and there's still not enough people out there to understand that. And our show this weekend, Money Matters, Duke, we're going to have Larry Klenick on, and we're going to talk about rates, and we're going to talk about houses and the sale. I mean, if you, in Zealand, where our business is, homes are selling under a week.
Really?
Under a week. I mean, even in 2 days.
No kidding.
Yeah. The average home sale here in Western Michigan is selling within 30 days once it goes on the market.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But in Zealand, under a week. You know, can you imagine that? I mean, you know, we go from no sales to now, you know, so it's we talk about, you know, a checkup is, okay, now you've sold your house, now what? You know, and it's pretty hard to find another house to move into right now. New home sales and construction is just out of sight right now.
Hmm.
I mean, unbelievable. And, you know, and if you're going to build a house, you better get after it right away to lock in these low rates.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're talking about refinancing, Duke, over the past 2 years. You know, Kim and I had a 30-year. We were paid down to, like, 24. We refinanced and went to 20, thinking we're all set. We got locked in at, like, 3-something, and all of a sudden a year later, we got locked in at 2.75 and took it all the way down to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's still the time is right. History tells us that, you know, I talked to my dad, and in his lifetime, too, he never remembers interest rates being this low. And it's a good time to refinance.
I don't
that.
Either.
Yeah,
you don't? Okay.
Yeah, and it's one of those where, you know, you need to take advantage of that right now. So if you're out there going to buy a home, you need to take advantage of it. If you could construct a home, take advantage of it. If you're going to refinance, do it now. Some of these companies, you just call them over the phone. They'll refinance over the phone. And, of course, you know, your home value has went up. So those people that didn't have, you know, 20 or 25% down, they now do with a new appraisal. So, it, you know, there's a lot of positive things. But there's also some... You know, in the last, I would say, 2 months, I have talked to people more than I've ever have about taking their RMD, required minimum distribution. You know what that is, Duke, because you're slightly over 50 or 70 and a half.
Yeah.
taking their RMD and moving that to the church and not paying any tax on it. You know, if you need the money, that's something else. But if you don't need the money, you should be taking your RMD, and giving it to a charitable organization, a legitimate charitable organization,
yeah.
and not pay tax on it. You could have done that last year, but they waited till the first part of the year to say you can still go back and do your RMD for 2012 retroactively.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this year, it's in place right now to do that in 2013, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a strategy there, too, you know, I tell clients that if you're gifting money to your church on a regular, you know, weekly basis in cash, why not take appreciated investments out of your IRA, save 15% in taxes, you're giving the church really 15% more, and have that replace your, you know, weekly contribution.
Right.
And it's just a great way, a smart way, a wise way to go.
Yeah, and it's just not enough people do that. I don't know if they don't understand what it is. You know, if you don't understand it, call us 395-1450 right now. We'll talk about that, talk you through it. But, you know, we've even set up a lot of accounts at churches where we'll take the, you know, we'll set up an account for the church, a brokerage account.
Mm-hmm.
So we transfer it in kind to the brokerage account. We'll sell that. And, again, they pay no taxes on it. Now, sometimes your CPA needs to make sure they understand that distribution goes to the, you need to match that up one for one. But it's just a good strategy. Another thing coming up here is, for those people who have kids or grandkids going to college, is you're going to see your tuition bill here any day now. August is the time, you know, so we're talking another week to 2 weeks away that you're going to be getting your first tuition bill if you're a freshman. And some people, that's a shock, mm-hmm. you know, to get that $8,000 or $10,000 bill, room and board for your first one as a freshman. And the kid looks at mom and dad, well, how are you going to pay? And I'd say you need to look at the kid and say, well, how are you going to pay?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, so it's one of those. And I always tell people, you know, with five of my kids all going through college and master's degrees, is you need to be on a first name basis with your financial aid person at your college.
Mm-hmm.
That is your best buddy. You need to know them constantly of, hey, we're not getting enough. What can we do? You know, are we in the right program? Is there scholarships in this program? You know, in each of these programs, people donate scholarships. If you're in the biology program, there's scholarships. If you're, you know, in the music program, there's scholarships where people have passed away and they've given a scholarship every year in their name to a viable candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's lots of negotiation that needs to be done at the college level for ongoing through undergraduate, master's, doctorate, whatever, for people out there.
There's no such thing as working your way through college anymore.
It's pretty hard to do, but, you know, yeah. You need to save. You need to save for college. Otherwise,
everything.
Yeah, you know, I had a person call me from Ketteridge. You know, it used to be the old GMI Institute, and he had over $200,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
From the GMI Institute.
Ouch.
Now, he has a great job, but he has a hard time making the minimum payment.
Yeah.
Minimum payment. And that's a 30-year loan.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, when you think of mid-year and checkups, you know, you think of other major, one of the major things that's happening in this area, there's companies, and Herman Miller is doing closing out their cash balance plan for their employees that are there, so employees have a choice to make on this before August 16th. So here's another major event that happens, and these employees need to decide what to do with this cash balance. And they have a number of different options. And is the same option right for everyone? No. There's four or five different options, and for one person, it's going to be different than the next person. And that's another thing we've been helping a lot of people with.
And it's the time of year is, you know, some things happen, again, in the bond market. Also, there's some highly appreciated stocks out there today, mutual funds, where they're a little pricey right now, Duke. Large cap is undervalued right now, so you want to kind of trend towards things that are undervalued. You know, go where you have some value versus, like, you know, you go to the store and say, you know, I think I like that shirt for $100. Now, why don't you buy the one next to it? It's on sale for $25. Same shirt, different look maybe,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to get you what you want, and it's always good value right now to look at large caps. So we're trying to move some people from some of the higher price where they've appreciated, got too pricey, into some of those things where, you know, you might want to reallocate. Emerging markets, another one, natural resources, another one, where you might want to think of your portfolio if it fits. And people still ask me about gold. Gold, of course, has went down 46%. And maybe now's the time to, you know, dabble in, you know, maybe an exchange-traded fund where you do GLD or, you know, people, I don't think ever want to buy the bars, but we have some customers who own the bars.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to get rid of them. and you have to store them.
That's right.
There's a lot of issues with that. But I still get asked. I got asked yesterday, what about gold? I go, you know, this was a lady that was 70 years old. I go, it's just not for you. Just not for you.
Yeah, it and the history of gold is it's always fluctuated. And if you buy gold bars, it's not paying you a dividend. So when you buy other funds that have gold in it, at least you're getting a dividend off of it.
Right.
And there's different ways to invest in gold. So you need to approach that in the best way that fits. But, yeah, if you have gold bars, you need to store it. There's a storage fee. If you need to sell it, you need to get it to the market. And that just all takes time.
Yes, it does. And we're going to take time out here for a word here. And just let me say that we've got two experts here to talk about finances, and maybe it is relative to your finances. By all means, give it.
Rapid Oil Change, Auto Body Experts CarStar, and the merchants of South Shore Village. And the WHDC app is available for Android and iPhones. We're on WHDC.com.
Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Good morning. I just tuned in. You may have talked about this before, but I wonder what the guys think about Detroit and Michigan municipal bonds, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
That's a great question.
No, it is a great question. You know, Carrie and I were just talking about Detroit bonds here. You know, we have a few customers in that. You know, we talked about sewer bonds especially. I think those are going to be covered by revenue coming in.
Yeah, because you have utility bonds like that is definitely good revenue.
Right.
And we've read reports on it. You mentioned one this morning, too, a large mutual fund company that was given a report that they should be fine. The revenue bonds should be fine.
Yep, revenue bonds should be fine. Remember, Detroit airport bonds, those are Wayne County. Those are not City of Detroit, so those are exempt for people that have those. Many of these Detroit bonds are insured, and I've checked with a number of people who sell bonds commercially out there in the bond market, and they think the insurer is going to be, they're healthy enough not to go under. So they're okay there. So that takes care of Detroit bonds. Michigan Municipal, you know, here's what I've done for clients. It depends on the size of your hold. The Michigan Municipal have went up in value tremendously. They're probably down now 5 to 7%. The fundamentals typically are very good. Fundamentals are very good. So if you can hang on for the long term and reinvest these dividends, you're going to be paid back significantly, significantly. But if you're short-term, I think there's still some more NAV loss you're going to have. But you'd be surprised, you know, people who have bailed on some of these inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But there's good fundamentals in Michigan bonds, and if you're going to be long-term, we recommend you hang on to them, reinvest the dividend, and just hang on.
Well, yeah, and it's so... Sometimes we can be so quick to take what is happening in Detroit, make an emotional decision, and jump ship on Michigan municipal bonds.
Right, right.
And we can't. We have to step back and take a look at it. And I think, you know, my gut says they're going to be fine through this, and the insurer is going to back some of them. You know, people should hang on to them. If it's a bond that doesn't come due for 5 or 10 years, hold on it till to maturity.
Yeah, and those are individual bonds. You know, he's probably talking Michigan municipals when we're talking about a mutual fund. Totally separate issues, but, you know, if the fundamentals are good, I think you ought to hang on to them. But if you'd like to call us at our office, 616-931-1223, we'd be glad to look into your mutual fund and see the exposure that Detroit might have. But, again, most of Detroit bonds are insured, but I don't know exactly which bond he might be talking about, if he's talking individual. But overall, in the municipal bond market, you need to hang on.
Yeah, and I don't think this is going to be the last municipality nationwide that is going to go broke. I think there's others that are out there that have a lot of things that they need to work through, and there could be other possibilities out there.
Well, I put Flint Saginaw top on the list. Those are not fiscally sound. But if you look at the pension, and I'm really not sure, you know, other municipalities around here, are they owning up to their forecast of what the pensions are going to pay out going forward? And I think some of those have not, you know, some of the actuaries we've had problems with.
Yeah.
Their numbers aren't so good.
Yeah.
We always try to underestimate people's portfolios. Actuaries seem to overestimate, you know, what they're going to be paid and underestimate the revenue it's going to take.
Well, and a lot of factors have changed over the years. People are living longer, so they need to receive this pension for a longer period of time. And, you know, back when things were really going well, they thought, hey, this looks great. The pension's going to be fully funded, but there's going to have some changes going to have to be made.
And Chicago's the next city it's going to go. I mean, that's the next major city that is, there's no way they're going to dig out of it. There's just too much liability. They can't tax the people enough. I mean, they can't tax their way out of this. There's just no way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would think that Chicago in the next couple of years will go bankrupt. That's my prediction.
Okay, we'll keep that on record, right?
Yeah. Feds will come to their assistance in Chicago?
Well, you know, if Obama's in there, probably. But, you know, it's just amazing, Juke, of the people that are who voted for the administrations in Detroit for the last 25 years. Promise, give them anything they wanted. And there was just no way to pay for this in the end. No way to pay for this. Should the state of Michigan bail them out? No. To the federal government. The federal government's worse than the state of Michigan. Yeah. They shouldn't bail them out. We cannot tax our way out of this. And, you know, it's sad to say, but they were promised goods that somebody knew they could never deliver, but they got their votes.
Right.
And that's the problem. And, I can't fault Dave Bing, the mayor. He's tried, but the people didn't want to come to the table and negotiate. And that's a sad thing.
It is indeed.
It's a real sad thing.
Hey, we should mention that workshop you're going to be having.
Yeah, we're going to have a workshop. It's going to be coming up a week from Tuesday. It's Affordable Health Care Act. Actually, a week from today, it's Affordable Health Care Act. We're going to have Stacey Kampeis from the insurance group there. And we're just going to talk about, better known as Obamacare. It's going to be at the Hayworth Center there on Hope's campus. And it's going to be 6 to 8 p.m. You need to call us for reservations. We have 10 slots left. We own the room as a capacity of 70. We have 60 people signed up. We have 10 slots left. They're booked up for other rooms, so we can't go to a bigger room. But we're going to be talking about Obamacare, Medicaid, what it's going to take. And so if you want to come to this, you need to call us, 616-931-1223, extension 4. And no cost to you, but we're just going to be talking about that. That's it, which is pretty cool.
It's an educational workshop, and it's going to be a great evening. I've heard Stacey speak at many occasions. She does a great job. And this is going to affect a lot of everyone. It's going to affect everyone.
Right.
You know, those that are retired, how is it going to affect you? Those that are, you know, in the age group of 60, 65, kind of that area where you need to get your own health insurance, and you know, how's that going to affect you? And those that are thinking of retiring, how's that going to affect those within 5 to 10 years of retiring? You know, you need to come to the seminar because it will help you plan for that.
And I'm for what Snyder's doing. He wants to take the federal government's money for the next 3 years. That's what he wants to do with Medicaid. He wants to take the federal government's money to pay for Medicaid in the state of Michigan. And people are saying, well, we don't know if we want to do that. What don't you understand? Let's save Michigan's money and let the federal government add on to theirs, which is really all of ours. But it's going to be revenue sharing on their part. We should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't agree with that. I mean, I agree with it. Take the federal government's money and save Michigan's money. It's a good strategy.
Yeah. We're all going to be paying for it anyway.
Well, we're all going to be paying for it in the end. Yep, we're all going to be paying for it. We also have another workshop September 26th, Duke. It's called Can You Afford to Retire? These are people who are going to retire in the future. You know, we have people that, well, I'm going to retire next month. I go, wait a minute, we need to plan this. You know, some people I've been planning for 8 years their retirement. How's it look? What's it look like? This year's been an aberration for high returns, but we like to pick 6%. And, you know, 6% in and 5% out, those are still okay numbers. But you have to have enough money to retire. And if you don't get that, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's going to be September 26th, same place. It's going to be 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at the Hayworth Center. So if people want to sign up for that one as well, 616-931-1223, extension 4.
Okay. Good.
Well, you know, as I think of other mid-year things, Jack, you know, you think of things such as, do you need to make your tax or your investment portfolio more tax efficient? And there's things out there that, you know, when you buy and sell stocks in a non-retirement account, there could be tax consequences. And there's efficient ways to go about that. And, you know, sometimes people gift appreciated assets to their children. You know, is that a smart move? You know, I always like going back to the one, Jack, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, making charitable donations from your IRA. Those are great things, you know, plan ahead for medical. You know, deductions, or you have a health savings account at work. You want to make sure that you get some of these things in line or in place, or use some of the money that's in there before year end, just so that when it comes year end, you don't have any surprises.
Well, and some people don't even realize that you can deduct mileage for medical. I mean, if you drive to a hospital, a lot of people go to Ann Arbor Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They don't deduct it. People go to Cleveland Clinic. They don't deduct the mileage. You know, they go to Minnesota there to see doctors. They go to Chicago and they don't deduct it. Sometimes they go to Phoenix. You can deduct mileage off medical.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't do that.
And
you should be doing
that.
Yeah.
Okay, got a call here. Good morning, you're online with our guests.
Oh, lost him.
Good morning, you're online with our guests.
Okay.
Okay, let me take a quick look at the weather here. And the weather is brought to you by Kia of Holland. That's hollandkia.com. And for today, we can look at sunny weather with a high of 81. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 52. And tomorrow, sunny, becoming partly cloudy late, with a high of 77. Right now it is 77 degrees. Okay. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I mean, other things, you know, it looks like you got a call back there.
Okay, I've got
a call
now.
Yep.
And good morning. Good morning. You're online with our guest. Hello? Yep. Hello?
Yeah, is this Talk of the Town?
Yes.
Yes. Is there anyone that needs any cleaning, especially seniors?
Well, we got some guests on right now. Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, other things you need to be taking a look at is, are you withholding enough for the year? I mean, the IRS is coming after people like they've never come after them before. You know, the revenue's on the increase there, and they're looking at their taxes. I've had two people in the last 2 weeks that forgot to report IRA money before 59 and a half, and they couldn't figure out they have to go back 2 years and pay the tax and penalty. Now, if you don't pay your taxes on time, there's tax penalties and interest that you're going to have to pay. And they just will not agree to just throw those away. Tax and penalty and interest are significant for those people who do not withhold enough, forget to report certain things on their taxes. It's unbelievable. IRS is building up.
Oh, yeah, they have really cracked down on a few things, and you need to, like, for us, Jack and I pay, being self-employed, we pay quarterly, and I've just moved that up to a monthly payment so I don't have such a big quarterly payment. But, you know, at the end of the year, if you haven't paid in enough, they will come and ask for more plus a penalty.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, there's also people who are starting their business today. You know, if they're starting a new business, make sure that you, you know, talk with an attorney. Make sure that you talk with a good tax person, a good accounting. Plan your tax flow. Make sure you have all those legal documents together, you know, regarding if you have a business partner. You know, like Carrie and I do, we have all legal documents put together. You need to have some of that legal stuff done to make sure that somebody doesn't run away with your money, overspend, all those kind of good things that you want to have in a business agreement, that people, you know, in the urge to go out there and start a business, they forget about doing all the homework.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of businesses fail, is they just think they're going to have a business. And, you know, sometimes we go into a business and just like, how is this business ever going to make money?
Well, sometimes people just assume, well, I'm going to pass on with a family. Even then, you need to have, besides, you know, a business legal document in place, a business continuation plan. You know, how is that business going to continue after Jack and I are gone?
Right.
You know, we have something like that in place, and that is so important nowadays. And, you know, that's not only for our sake and our spouse's sake, it's also for the sake of our employees, because then they're not out of work and left cold. It's they're continuing for them also.
Mm-hmm. I had a customer in this past week that did not realize that if both spouses don't work, you should still be contributing to the spouse who doesn't work. So if you have a spouse, you know, Carrie and I are both over 50 this year. Carrie's going to be over 50 this year. Make sure our listeners know that.
You're going to have a party for me, right?
Probably, yeah. So if you're over 50, you're able to contribute $6,500 to an IRA or Roth IRA. Even if your spouse, if one person makes $1,300, you can contribute $6,500 to yourself, $6,500 to your spouse. And people still do not understand the value of a Roth IRA. They don't understand that until they get to be taking the RMD, which is over 70 and a half, and they go, why do I need to take such a big number out? I go, we've been trying to tell you for years, do a Roth IRA, and they just forget about taxes. Taxes creep up on you.
They sure do.
They really creep up on you, and you don't realize that. It might be too late.
Yeah.
It really is too late.
And gentlemen, we're about out of time. I thank you both so very much for being our guests this morning here on Talk of the Town.
Duke, thank you for your time.
And we'll be seeing you later.
Okay. We sure will. Thank you.
Take care.
Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, yeah.
Money Matters.
Right.